Today is the 31st day of July. Wow. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we bring to a close the seventh month of the year. That is incredible. It is the 212th day of the year, which means 212 times we have gathered together this year so far and taken a step forward, moving forward as we navigate through the scriptures. Man, I am grateful for these 212 days. They go by, man. I can't believe it, but here we are, well underway in our journey, but so much yet in front of us. I'm grateful to be here with you today around the global campfire. And I'm grateful that we can take another step forward. And so let's do that. We're working our way, as we know, through the book of 2 Chronicles. Today, chapter 29. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now, and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. This is why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him, and to burn incense." Then these Levites set to work, from the Kohathites, Mahath son of Amasai, and Joel son of Azariah; from the Merarites, Kish son of Abdi, and Azariah son of Jehalalel; from the Gershonites, Joah son of Zima, and Eden son of Joah; from the descendants of Elzaphan, Shimri and Jael; from the descendants of Asaph, Zechariah and Mattaniah; from the descendants of Heman, Jehiel and Shimei; from the descendants of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uzziel. When they had assembled their fellow Levites and consecrated themselves, they went in to purify the temple of the Lord, as the king had ordered, following the word of the Lord. The priests went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord. The Levites took it and carried it out to the Kidron Valley. They began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and by the eighth day of the month they reached the portico of the Lord. For 8 more days they consecrated the temple of the Lord itself, finishing on the 16th day of the first month. Then they went in to King Hezekiah and reported, "We have purified the entire temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the table for setting out the consecrated bread with all its articles. We have prepared and consecrated all the articles that King Ahaz removed in his unfaithfulness while he was king. They are now in front of the Lord's altar. Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials together and went up to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 male lambs, and 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. The king commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer these on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priests took the blood and splashed it against the altar. Next, they slaughtered the rams and splashed their blood against the altar. Then they slaughtered the lambs and splashed their blood against the altar. The goats for the sin offering were brought before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. The priests then slaughtered the goats and presented their blood on the altar for a sin offering to atone for all Israel, because the king had ordered the burnt offering and the sin offering for all Israel. He stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres in the way prescribed by David and Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. This was commanded by the Lord through his prophets. So the Levites stood ready with David's instruments, and the priests with their trumpets. Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. As the offering began, singing to the Lord began also, accompanied by trumpets and the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly bowed in worship while the musicians played and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the sacrifice of the burnt offering was completed. When the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and worshipped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed down and worshipped. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord." So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. The number of burnt offerings the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 male lambs, all of them for burnt offerings to the Lord. The animals consecrated as sacrifices amounted to 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep and goats. The priests, however, were too few to skin all the burnt offerings, so their relatives, the Levites, helped them until the task was finished and until other priests had been consecrated. For the Levites had been more conscientious and consecrated themselves than the priests had been. There were burnt offerings in abundance, together with the fat of the fellowship offerings and the drink offerings that accompanied the burnt offerings. So the service of the temple of the Lord was reestablished. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. Romans 14. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be faithfully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Psalm 24 of David, a psalm. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, sword, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Proverbs 20:12. Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Okay, so we are still navigating the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, and man, I mean, we can see why it is what it is, and why so much of the Christian faith finds so much of its doctrine and its persuasions in the letter to the Romans. Today, we have one that hits us like between the eyes. That is a struggle then and a struggle now, a huge one that is, like, until this gets sorted, until we can actually get this sorted in our own hearts and operate differently. This is a self-perpetuating problem generation after generation after generation. And so we can see it in everybody else, but until we can actually make corrections inside of ourselves and go in a different direction, repent, then we're perpetuating a problem. So we hear phrases constantly like unity in the body. And we tend to believe that if and when everybody who believes in Jesus can finally get on the same page, and we can all think the same way, then we'll have unity. And then unbelievably powerful things will happen. The problem is, we're probably thinking of uniformity rather than unity, where everybody looks like everybody else. And the idea that we can find unity in uniformity is counterproductive, actually. It ends up segregating us into different kind of camps with different kinds of persuasions. And then we battle with each other over who gets to control the truth about what we believe. This is the issue the Apostle Paul is dealing with in Romans today. He says, accept other believers who are weak in faith. Don't argue. Don't argue with them about what they think is right. And then he gives these examples that reveal for some of the ways that the early believers were segregating themselves. We have all new sets of criteria 2,000 years into the future, but we can look back over time and see the ways that they were doing this. The first one was about which foods could and could not be eaten. And the second was about which days were to be holy and which ones were not. And so from these examples, we can pull out the many different ways that we continue to do the same kind of segregation. So Paul addressed these postures in a way that blows them up and forces us to face our tendencies. Paul's very direct. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand. They will get his approval. Paul's saying that in regards to us judging each other, who all claim we are servants of Christ. Paul's like, how do you get the right to judge somebody else's servant? Leave it to their master. So for Paul, the master is the only legitimate judge. we're wasting our time trying to, like, trying to jump above him and take his authority so that we get to feel right. We should instead keep our eyes on our own lives and be led by the Spirit about what we can and cannot do and how we should live. Because we each come from different backgrounds and we each have a story to tell and we each have our own mistakes and regrets and we each have different strengths and we each have different weaknesses. Uniformity will not bring us into unity by some type of force. Paul says, why do you condemn another believer? Wow. Like, just that. Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of God, Paul says. So, let's stop that. Let's stop condemning each other. Let's choose differently and live in a way that won't cause any other believer to stumble and fall. That problem is an ancient problem, but that problem is a raging problem right now. And if we would take Paul's advice, we would discover that there is freedom there. Freedom to walk with God personally. And that God will guide our journey and give us dignity and grace. We don't have to define who we are by what somebody else thinks or believes. We get to be who we are as we continue to be transformed by our Master. So, trying to take over the authority of the Master and judge other servants and segregate ourselves into camps who think we have it right simply gives us all of the fuel that we need to cultivate pride. And that will indeed cause others to stumble on their journey. We each have our own story. We will stand before God as individuals, but we can't ignore that our lives have impact on other people. We're very interconnected. Unity isn't going to come, though, when we all become clones. The body of Christ, Paul describes it, every part is different. Every part has a different function, just like the human body. Everything is necessary, but everything is different. And so the body of Christ, if that's true, if that metaphor stands, is very diverse. Is as diverse as the human race. So unity will come when we agree on love, the essential core of our faith, and grace that we offer each other in our differences as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink. It's living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Jesus with this attitude, Paul says, then you will please God. And others will approve of you too. So let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Ah, Lord, make that so in me. Make that so in my family. Make that so in the community that I'm in. Make that so among us here in community at Daily Audio Bible. Make that so in each of our hearts and lives. Make it a category that we pay attention to. We understand that we have incredible freedom, but judging each other so that we can be right because we are insecure isn't getting us anywhere. We have to actually walk with you. We have to actually trust you. And we have to actually stop worrying about what everybody else is doing so that we can have some kind of identity. Holy Spirit, we are guilty. Lead us into all truth. Change us. We repent. In the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. That is where you find out what's happening around here. And so be sure to do that. The Daily Audio Bible app is in the App Store. That is definitely home base as well. Home base plus. So if you don't have that, be sure to get it. Check out the different sections, the community section. That is community, where to get connected. The different social media channels that we participate in. Those are good to stay connected to if you're in the social media world, in that space, on any of those platforms. We're there just trying to be light in the darkness and bring encouragement for the journey that we're on as a community. So that's a good place to get announcements and some behind the scenes stuff and just words of encouragement for the journey. And so check that out. It's also the home of the prayer wall, where no matter what's going on in life, we can reach for each other, for encouragement, for prayer. We can reach back with prayer and with encouragement in a way that's not out there on the internet in this public kind of sphere, social media, just here inside this safe place that we make for each other every day. This oasis that we call the Global Campfire. So be familiar with that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and given to anybody who will listen anywhere, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm, the rhythm of showing up every day, showing up for our own hearts, showing up for each other, being in community together. If that is meaningful to you and life-giving, thank you deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. This is New Eyes in Tennessee. And I want to lift up a fellow mama who called in very cheerfully about her young son in his 20s who left and didn't say where he was going. And she's worried about their relationship being broken. And I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. A lot of us are parenting young people and it's really difficult. And I just want to bless you with the knowledge that your spiritual authority over your children is very important. And God honors your prayers. God honors grandparents' prayers. He honors community's prayers. And so, Lord, we lift up this young man, this child of God, we lift him up and just lay his life before your throne, and we declare that he has a destiny that is in you and you have written it. And Lord, that you are going to pursue him, you're going to find him. And Lord, I just bless this family. Lord, that you would build bridges that may be broken. And Lord, that you would remind this mama, this dear friend, that these young men, their story is not over. Their story is just beginning. Their story is new. The adventures they're going to have with the Lord are great. And we just lift her up and encourage her, strengthen her heart, strengthen her mind. Let her not fall prey to fear and worry. Lord, that you would remind her that you take care of the birds of the air. You will definitely take care of her sons. So, Lord, we glorify your name. We thank you for the victory in Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie, a.k.a. Great to Be Free in Jesus. I'm calling in today because my daughter-in-law told me that her aunt was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and it's already metastasized to her brain. And she's a Christian, but I ask you to pray for her for healing. And her whole family is just devastated by this news because she's not very old. So I would appreciate your prayers. I told her that I was going to call in, and she said it was fine. And her aunt's name is Angie Walker. She told me I could give the full name. So please, please, family, pray for her and pray for the whole family. And I told her that she would have thousands of people praying for her. I love you, my wonderful DAB family, and I pray for you each and every day. I pray for you and your children, your grandchildren, your entire family. I love you. God bless you. Bye.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Karen from Florida, in Canada right now, and I just really need your prayers. I'm just really having a difficult time right now. I called in about a week ago or so because I discovered that my son, who I had gone through rehab and got clean and everything and thought he was doing good, I discovered that it was all really a lie being hidden from me, and that he's not doing good, and now it's affecting possibly his marriage. He's only been married for one year, and last year it was difficult because I wasn't invited to the wedding, and then I got invited, and it's just been real turmoil. And it hasn't just been for the last year, it's been for the last 20 years of dealing with my son and his addictions. And here I am again, and everybody else in the family seems to have developed kind of a thick skin to it, but I guess I'm the only one that how it really affects them still. And I'm just really, really having a hard time with this. I gotta go see him on Thursday. I'm flying to where he lives on Thursday, and he's still living with his wife, but she wants him out and everything, and I'm going into this situation, which is gonna be difficult. So I just ask you to pray for me, okay? I thank you so much. I'm trusting because I believe God answers prayers here, so I'm really praying that situation would change. And anyways, amen. Thank you.
Hello, this is Linda, a.k.a. Born Again in Texas. First time caller. I'm asking all the dabbers to pray earnestly for my sister Carol and my niece Caitlin. 3 weeks ago, Caitlin's beautiful 2-year-old daughter Marion drowned in Carol's pool. Carol and little Marion's dad, Craig, were in the pool with her when her swimmy came off unbeknownst to them, and all of a sudden they found her at the bottom of the pool, and she couldn't be revived. To this day, they are broken and unconsolable and filled with guilt, and I am so, so worried about both of them and their whole families, but particularly about Carol and Caitlin and Craig. Please pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen.